You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On that Off About That channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA, FanRag Sports, and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at FanRag Sports, and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Our text and voicemail line is at 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all your reaction. You've got reaction to anything we did earlier on in this week, maybe some of the interviews over the last couple of weeks. You got thoughts on Jabari Parker, what this lineup might look like in 2018-2019. Whatever you have for us, send it to us, text it to us, leave us a voicemail, 331-979-1369. All right, I'm not going to waste much time. We've got an interview coming up with former host of Locked On Bulls, Sean Hyken. He writes for Bleacher Report right now and a bunch of other bylines. We talked Bulls with him. We talked the NBA, Kawhi trade, where free agents might land in 2019, and so much more. So without further ado, here's Sean Hyken from Bleacher Report.
Right now, we are pleased to welcome back to Locked On Bulls one of the OG hosts of Locked On Bulls. He is Sean Hyken, formerly of the Bulls beat for The Athletic Chicago. You can still currently catch his work at both Bleacher Report and Up Rocks. You can follow him on Twitter at Hyken. That's H-I-G-H-K-I-N. Sean, welcome back. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. Holding down the fort, you know, trying to be fair, balanced, and maybe a little bit optimistic about this whole shift of year one to year two in the rebuild. But I think Jordan would agree with me. It's not easy on some days.
They're certainly going to be interesting this year.
What did you take away from the NBA draft as far as the Bulls? What is your take overall? And I guess looking at the top 10 and just seeing summer league in general, give us your way too early prediction as far as who you think the best talents out of that top 10 is going to be and probably who's going to be the biggest bust.
Well, I was just out in Vegas for a few days for summer league at the beginning. I think the Bulls did pretty well. I really like Wendell Carter. I realize he's kind of seen as the safe pick, but you know, sometimes you got to just go with the safe pick. And he looked like out of the bigs that were taken in the top 10, he looked like he was the most polished. You know, he showed, you know, some good playmaking ability. I think he's going to be able to fit in pretty nicely right next to Markkanen. So I think they made a good pick there. And as far as other guys that I've seen out there that I really like, I like Kevin Knox with the Knicks, who was the number 9 pick. You know, he's a guy that there aren't really a whole lot of playmaking wings that were taken in the top 10 or at least in the first round at all. And so I think he's going to be a nice fit there. You know, I kind of like what they're building with Frank Ntilikina in the backcourt. And then once Porzingis gets healthy from the ACL, you know, they seem like they kind of have a nice little core that they're working up there. Jaren Jackson in Memphis, the number 4 pick. And then also Mo Bamba who was taken sixth by Orlando. Like those are out of the other bigs besides Carter. Those are the two that really like stood out to me. I think that for kind of different reasons, Bamba is just a freak athlete, and you know his length obviously is unprecedented. Him and Jonathan Isaac together, I think, are going to be pretty dangerous on the defensive end. And then Jaren Jackson just is, seems like such a typical like big man for this era. He can shoot threes, a good passer. Like I think he's going to be really good.
I think, you know, everybody in Bulls Nation is trying to, you know, A, temper their excitement because, of course, that the, you know, the age-old saying of, well, it's only summer league, so don't get too excited. But really looking at a 19-year-old kid in Wendell and saying, you know, maybe the Bulls missed out on the quote-unquote top tier of that 2018 draft class when they ended up picking seventh, but that maybe they did get themselves another steal of a player and a guy that they can be excited about, like Markkanen in 2017. Moving now, Sean, to the biggest, most recent news. Bulls introducing their newest player, Jabari Parker, Chicago native, at the Advocate Center yesterday. I was staunch from day one, as soon as these rumors started coming around, that there's no way the Bulls were actually interested in Jabari, and there's no way they could sign or would sign him. Even though it would be such a classic Bulls front office move, he's a name, he's a Chicago guy, he's a Duke guy, he's a Bartlestein client, et cetera, et cetera. I still just thought, based on the glaringly obvious lack of fit in the roster and two ACL tears, they wouldn't go near signing this guy. Well, lo and behold, I was wrong, and here we are. What are your thoughts on the Bulls taking this chance on Parker?
I think it's fine as a short-term flyer. You know, the fact that it's a two-year deal with the second year being a team option, that's really the biggest positive that I can take away from it at this point. Like, they didn't lock themselves into, like, a 3 or 4 year deal with somebody that has had two ACL tears. I don't love the on-court fit. I don't really know how good of a playmaker he is. And, you know, he's a guy that needs the ball in his hands a lot. And, you know, with kind of the group they're building, you know, they have Levine, who, you know, is also a guy that's going to need a lot of shots. They have Markkanen and Carter, who they're both, you know, those are the two guys that they're really building around. And so just, you know, paying that much money to a guy who has not really shown that he's much more than a scorer, you know, when he's been healthy. And then obviously the defensive concerns. I love that quote that he had yesterday about, like, they don't pay players who play defense. I mean, there was a lot of backlash to that quote. I love the honesty. I thought that was kind of funny. But between him and Levine, who are both coming off the ACL tears and who weren't great defenders before their injuries, I don't know who's going to be able to defend anybody on this team except for Chris Dunn.
Yeah, I think you're right. Chris Dunn and Wendell Carter Jr. are going to have their hands full for sure. And I go back real quick to the comments that Jabari Parker made yesterday on 670, because I'm sitting there listening to it live and I'm like, did he really just say that, like, openly? Like, I get that he came into the league and what he's meant to do here in the NBA is to score, but you could say that about a lot of other NBA players. I listened to Fred Hoiberg too, who followed it up on the 4 o'clock show, and they played that they played that 2 minute clip of him talking about Jabari Parker and his defense for Fred. Fred basically talked in circles and didn't really acknowledge it. But I guess, what's the biggest concern? And can you see Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker being almost the two worst defenders on the floor as far as going around the league and looking at the two or the three? And is there any possibility that those two guys could find a way to at least be average defenders this year or moving forward?
Well, Zach LaVine was one of the worst defenders in the league before he tore his ACL. And so now I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to do on that end, you know, now that he's coming, you know, back from that injury. And then Jabari, you know, it's the same problem. Like, neither of them can really move laterally, I don't think, in terms of, you know, just physically being able to do it. I think the Bulls, and this might not be the worst thing in the world just for where the league is going, but they might just be committing all the way to just, you know, running and, you know, and just trying to outscore everybody. And I mean, if that's what you're going to do, fine, go for it. You know, go ahead, sign Jabari Parker and re-sign Zach LaVine and do that. But it's gonna be ugly. They're gonna give up a lot of points next year.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about the fact that the Bulls are going to be atrocious on the defensive end, and Fred Hoiberg and Jabari Parker and the gang are going to say, well, okay, let's try to win some games where we win 133 to 122. certainly, I mean, I guess that's one way to approach it. But when you talk about the job that Fred Hoiberg has offensively next season, Sean, and Jordan and I have been talking about this since the Jabari signing. You kind of mentioned just a few moments ago how really before this Jabari signing came out of nowhere, it was Markkanen and now the rookie Wendell Carter and kind of trying to build around those young pieces, even though they're both front court pieces. Now you have LaVine, who's re-signed for close to $20 million per on a 4-year deal, who has to go out and prove that he's worth that. So that's going to be a lot of Zach LaVine going out there and jacking up shots, usually difficult and offensively inefficient shots that we saw last season. Jabari Parker, also not a very efficient player offensively, and in similar ways to LaVine, not really a facilitator, but a guy who can just create his own shot. I'm like, to me, that like LaVine and Parker is a less talented version of the Bulls' experiment of playing Wade and Butler together at the 2 and the 3, and it was like taking turns going ISO, and everybody else was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just stand behind the 3-point line. Do you see a similarity there?
I mean, it's certainly not going to be the most efficient offense that they could put out. I kind of agree with you that I'm not sure it's the best thing for the development of Carter and Markkanen, who are the two guys that they are really trying to build this thing around long term. But like I said, you know, the saving grace of the Jabari thing is that it's essentially a 1-year deal, and then if it pans out, they can make it into a 2-year deal. But They didn't lock him up to this long-term deal where, you know, now this is what they're locked into. They're going to still have some they're still going to have some ability to cut bait from this if it doesn't work out. And Jabari seems like a great kid. I hope it works out for him. Obviously, it's in his hometown. That means a lot to him. I'm rooting for the guy to succeed. But from this vantage point, just looking at it objectively, I don't really see how it's a great fit.
If you're looking at this Bulls team next year, and it could go a couple different ways, you look at this team, the way that they spent money this offseason, just re-signing Zach LaVine and then just bringing Jabari Parker in on a short-term deal, I've started to convince myself over the last couple of weeks that these are all statements telling Bulls fans that pretty much they're done in the lottery. They've said it before in press conferences. But my question to you is, if the Bulls are committed to what they have right now, and I know that things could change a little bit as far as next season goes with free agency, they could have about $36 million in cap. But if they decide to bring back Parker, it's going to look like they're going to have less than $20 million on their cap sheet. And with guys like Bobby Portis, who is going to be up for an extension talk, and so is Chris Dunn, to me, it sounds like unless there's a trade for a superstar, that the Bulls are committed to what they already have here and might add a couple other core pieces to this. But basically what the Bulls are running out there, and things could change with Jabari, but for right now, at least, this is the guy, this is the core that they're going with, and they're hoping that this all works well. Do you see this blueprint as far as the Bulls rebuild going more towards like what the Houston Rockets were doing and when they left their cap space open and flexible and they had players to trade to acquire James Harden, because it certainly doesn't look like it's going the 76ers route where they're tanking for multiple years and then hoping to bank on a superstar high in the lottery. So is there any teams over the next 2 or 3 years you could see maybe looking to part ways with their star that the Bulls could capitalize on?
I'm not sure yet. It's kind of, because obviously, you know, Kawhi Leonard was the huge domino as far as stars that were going to become available. Anthony Davis is a guy that, you know, I think New Orleans is pretty committed to holding on to him at this point because they won a playoff series. And he's also, like, if they're trying to build around Markkanen and Carter, then, you know, you're probably not going to give up the farm for another frontcourt player, even if it is Anthony Davis. But other than that, like, I mean, there's always something. Like, somebody always comes out of nowhere. Maybe John Wall, you know, Washington wants to get out of his contract. I don't really see a whole lot of, you know, obvious, because, you know, a few years ago it was like, you know, there was always the Jimmy stuff, there was always the Paul George stuff, and then the Kyrie stuff kind of came along out of nowhere, and then the Kawhi stuff was kind of its own thing. Like, there's always going to be somebody that comes on, maybe Giannis in a couple of years, maybe, you know, I don't think the Blazers are going to be looking to trade Damian Lillard, but maybe Damian Lillard wants out at some point. He hasn't shown signs that he does at this point, but like there's always going to be somebody. And I think it's probably in the Bulls' best interest to have pieces to trade for, because they don't exactly have the strongest track record of getting these big names in free agency over the years.
Yeah. And unless I missed it, you didn't mention the one name that Bulls fans are going gaga over right now, thinking that it might have something to do with this Jabari signing long term. And that's getting Anthony Davis, another Chicago kid. Somebody was talking to me on Twitter earlier this morning, or maybe it was last night, saying like, maybe this is, you know, the sly move that Garpax is planning out right now. You know, if Jabari plays well, then he's a piece to say, hey, I'm another Chicago kid, come play with me, Anthony Davis, and the Bulls orchestrate some kind of trade or get Anthony Davis when he does become a free agent and Parker's still here. Or Parker doesn't work out all that well. Somehow the Pelicans fall apart this season without Boogie and without Rondo and they're looking at a lottery next summer and decided now's the time to pull the trigger and get as much as you can for Anthony Davis. I said that's ridiculous. There's no way the Pelicans, regardless of their record this upcoming season, are trading Anthony Davis this soon. But any way that we can look at the Anthony Davis potential and say it has anything to do with the Parker signing, Sean?
I think it's possible that next summer they just move Anthony Davis. They have a disappointing season. I think that the playoff run that they had, where they unexpectedly beat Portland in the first round, I think they're pretty committed to not doing it this, like, as soon as, you know, this year or at the deadline. But if they have a disappointing season and fall out of the playoffs at that point, he's only got 1 year left on his deal. And if it seems like he's not going to stick around, then, you know, it's just like with any of these star trades, you kind of have to do what you can to get something for him. I just don't see how Chicago is really going to be the team that, you know, does that, you know, that's able to get it done either in free agency. You know, in free agency this summer, like, it was such a weird summer for free agents because there's still all those 2016 contracts on the books. When Anthony Davis is a free agent, all those 2016 deals that everybody signed are going to be off the books. So he's going to have his options. He's going to be able to sign basically wherever he wants because a lot more teams are going to have space. And I don't know why you would look around at the Bulls. I know he's from Chicago, unless he really wants to come home, and that's like the number one thing. But, you know, people assume that just because LeBron wanted to go back to Cleveland means that every star wants to go home. Kevin Durant didn't even take a meeting with the Wizards, and they've been talking for 2 years about trying to get him to come home. That's not usually something a lot of people want to do. And then even if we're just talking about a trade, unless the Bulls are going to put, like, Carter and Markkanen on the table, you know, Anthony Davis is a guy, like, you know, there's all these jokes, and I'm as guilty of making them as anybody, about how, oh, Danny Ainge doesn't want to give up any of his assets, you know, because he didn't really put a lot on the table for Jimmy Butler. He didn't really put a lot on the table for Paul George. They didn't really seem like they were interested in a one-year rental of Kawhi Leonard. Anthony Davis, to me, is a guy that Boston would, you know, look at and say, okay, we're going to put, like, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or, you know, some of these good, we're going to, like, Anthony Davis is a guy, like, Anthony Davis is a top five player in the league. That's a guy right. that even Danny Ainge is going to, you know, try to go after that. Or that's a guy that, like, the Sixers are going to go all in and try to get to put next to Embiid in that front. Like, there are going to be teams, if Anthony Davis becomes available and the Pelicans start listening to offers, there are going to be teams that can make better offers than the Bulls can make for Anthony Davis in the trade market. So, their only way of getting him to me is if he just gets to free agency and wants to go there for whatever reason.
Now that we're going to transition into the NBA now as a whole, as free agency is going sure. on. Talking about, obviously, let's talk about the most recent deal here in Kawhi Leonard and the flip for DeMar DeRozan. Obviously, some other pieces involved. Looking at what Kawhi Leonard has said early on now in saying that he doesn't really want to play in Toronto, what are the Raptors looking around doing, and how does this affect San Antonio, and what are they going to look like next year and a few years down the road, and just what's the effect on both players and both fan bases, and how can Toronto find a way to make this work for 1 year and convince Kawhi to stay?
Well, I mean, first of all, as far as how it affects the fan base and how it affects the players involved, I feel really bad for DeMar DeRozan, because that's a guy. You know, Toronto is an awesome city, and I guess they, you know, it has the stigma of, oh, it's in Canada and it's cold. But, like, DeMar DeRozan is a guy that, for a franchise that hasn't traditionally, like, gotten big stars or gotten big names or whatever, he's a guy who was drafted there, has become an all-star, an all-NBA type of guy, signed an extension there a couple of years ago, and has been very adamant, I love Toronto, I want to play my whole career here. And then they trade him with 2 years left on his deal, and it wasn't something he wanted. Like, so I kind of feel, obviously, it's a business, you have to, you know, do all those caveats, but for what he meant to that city and to that fan base, I feel bad for the guy there for how that happened. I think San Antonio is going to be all right. Like, I think there's still, I mean, they didn't have Kawhi last year. He played 9 games last year. They essentially didn't have him last year, and they won 47 games and made the playoffs. I think, you know, with DeRozan, and, you know, it's become kind of popular on Twitter to act like, you know, DeRozan isn't good because he doesn't shoot threes. DeRozan is really good, and he's a really good scorer, and he can play defense when he wants to. And, you know, Jakob Poeltl, I guess, is an interesting prospect. Losing Danny Green kind of hurts them as well as Kawhi, but I think San Antonio with Pop and with, you know, the other guys they have, like, they're going to be okay. They're going to be a playoff. I mean, obviously, they're not a contender with, like, Golden State and Houston and whoever, but they weren't going to be that anyway just because I don't think outside of Kawhi they had the personnel. But they're gonna be a playoff team. I think they're going to be okay. Now, as far as Toronto, well, I think Masai Ujiri just kind of felt like he knows what the team that he has right now is. Like, what they have been the last couple of years where, you know, they have a really good regular season record and then they just kind of top out and lose in the second round. That's just kind of what they are. And so he felt like shaking things up. I don't think it's a bad idea to just take a swing on Kawhi Leonard and seeing if you can get him to stay. You know, if he doesn't stay, obviously, then that's a huge setback. But, you know, they're in an okay spot. They have some young pieces that they didn't actually have to give up in the trade. Like, their best, I mean, Poeltl is, like I said, he's an interesting guy, but their two best young guys, in my opinion, are Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, who just had a really solid rookie season for them. Like, they have other people. Like, if Kawhi does really just say, no, I want to go to LA or I want to go somewhere else and just bounces after a year, they're still in an okay spot. Like, it's not great. Like, I'm not one of these people who's like, oh no, it's actually good that they got out of the DeRozan contract, because DeRozan's really good. Like, again, this isn't Evan Turner's contract. This isn't Chandler Parsons' contract. DeRozan is like an all NBA caliber player. He makes a lot of money, but good players make a lot of money in the NBA. So I wasn't as much on the train of, oh, well, at least they got out of the DeRozan contract. But, you know, Kawhi Leonard, when he's healthy, is a top five player in the NBA, and he's, you know, arguably the best defensive player in the NBA. And, you know, he's a guy that they're going to be, if they get a healthy and engaged Kawhi Leonard, they're going to be better with, you know, with him than they would have been if they had just run the same team back next year. So the upside of it is, you know, maybe they can actually compete with Boston in the East and they can actually make the finals, which the Toronto Raptors as a franchise have never done. And so for them, you know, that would be a huge success. And then maybe you could, beyond that, maybe you can convince Kawhi to stick around. I really have no insight into that because I don't think anybody really has any idea what he wants or what his people want, because he really just, you know, they just don't really communicate with anybody. But I think it was a worthwhile gamble for Toronto. So I actually think it worked out okay for both.
Yeah, Sean, I'm with you, man. Like, I look at with the assumption of Kawhi is healthy and Kawhi is Kawhi, you swap him for DeRozan, and you still keep, as you said, the better young pieces that are coming off of Toronto's bench, which is one of the better benches in the league last season. And that's a better team than the team that won 59 games last season. Obviously, you have the transition at coach, and now that's a different weird thing to think about. It's like, wow, like, if they knew they were going to be able to get Kawhi, would they have still fired Dwayne Casey to turn that chair over? But I'm with you. Like, I think on paper, if Kawhi's healthy, they're better than Philly and probably right there with Boston. And maybe even if it's a 1 year only thing and they can't convince Kawhi to stay, they still have probably the second best or odds on best chances of making it to the finals out of the East, especially now that their mental hurdle, their nightmare, LeBron, is no longer there. But let's talk about that hypothetical of Kawhi being healthy, and also this weird stuff about how Kawhi has handled this and how Kawhi's group of people have handled this exit from San Antonio. Now we're hearing these weird, you know, hypotheticals that he might like choose to sit out, and he did not want to get traded to Toronto, has no interest in playing for Toronto, and like hasn't shown up yet. People are talking about maybe he won't, you know, show up for his medicals, he won't show up for training camp. And there are all sorts of things in his NBA contract, like every NBA contract, that would put him in line for some serious financial punishments. Would he not do that? What's your take on this weird situation of Kawhi having no interest in playing there and potentially sitting this season out?
Well, I would be shocked if that actually was what ended up happening. He's, I think even his people kind of know that he already doesn't have a great reputation just because of the way everything was handled in San Antonio last year with, you know, the disputes over what the injury was. And, you know, maybe he's going to come back. Maybe he's not. If he just straight up sits out a whole season, like, I don't know if his reputation can recover from that. And frankly, if you're the Lakers or what, let's say he just wants to go to any LA team. If you're the Lakers or the Clippers and you see, oh, Kawhi was unhappy with his situation, so he just sat out for the season. Is that a guy you really want? As good as Kawhi Leonard is, and again, he's a top five player in the league when he's healthy, as good as he is, if you see a guy handle some quote-unquote adversity that way in other situations, is that a guy you're going to look at and say, okay, yeah, let's just like line up to throw a max contract at him and you know, make him the centerpiece of our franchise? Like, I think Kawhi has to. I mean, he may not want to be in Toronto, and he doesn't have to be in Toronto beyond this year. He's only under contract for one more year, and then he can opt out. But you did, like, and I get, and I'm as much about, like, oh, players should be able to decide where they want to go as much as anybody. But, you know, you can be pro-player movement and pro-whatever, and also say, you know, he's under contract. He got traded there. He has to show up and play. And, you know, if he's healthy, he has to play, and he has to be fully engaged. Like, you have, like... I think it's going to go okay. I think I totally buy that he isn't psyched about being in Toronto, but you know, the team is going to be really good. If they make a big run in the playoffs, you know, they could convince him to stay. I wouldn't bet on it, but I also didn't think Paul George was going to stay in Oklahoma City until he did. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I think it's worth the gamble for Toronto. And I think Kawhi is going to end up showing up, and even if he's not happy about it, he's going to show up and he's going to play, and they're going to be really good if he's healthy.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous to think that he would sit out for a year. Like, I'm in the camp that it's like, we haven't seen this guy play in a year, and I get that he's still, when healthy, top five, top seven player in the league. But still, like, it would concern me as a team long-term if he sat out for another whole year. That's 2 years you didn't see him play, and investing in a 4 or 5 year contract at a max money for a guy, like, I could turn my options and look at guys that have already played. If I'm the Lakers, you know, you could look at Jimmy Butler, who's fine right now, and you've seen him play and you know what his production is. So I feel like for Kawhi's sense, it's like, dude, you've got to go out there and play. Like, you've got to show people that you're at least healthy and you are still the top five, top seven player that you are. Even with all these rumors going around, I think if he's successful on the floor, I think some of this other stuff goes away. And that's more so what I think he needs to do more so than anything else. So we'll see. Transitioning to a couple other moves that were made over the course of free agency and maybe even in the draft. Talking about free agency, LeBron going to LA, DeMarcus Cousins going to Golden State. Obviously, you could talk about the most surprising moves of free agency, but who did you feel like had the best offseason as far as teams go? Like, you could maybe say the Lakers because they got LeBron. But overall, if you look at all 30 teams in the NBA, who do you feel like had the strongest offseason overall, whether it was adding players or subtracting their contracts off? Who do you feel like in the NBA had the best year?
Well, I mean, I think you have to start, obviously, with the Lakers just getting LeBron like that. Like, when you get LeBron, like, okay, they're probably not going to contend this year. I don't really like a lot of the other signings they made, but they're still in a good spot. And you have LeBron on a four-year deal, so you're in an okay spot there. Now, as far as other teams that I like, I kind of think Oklahoma City did well, you know, just keeping Paul George and convincing him to stay. That's a huge win for Sam Presti. And then also once they're going to do a buyout with Carmelo at some point. And, you know, I think that's going to be an addition by subtraction type of situation in terms of where he's at in his career and how many, and you know, the kind of role that he wants versus the kind of role that he's actually capable of playing. You know, I think that's going to be more, I think Oklahoma City is going to still be really good, which is kind of all you can ask for them. The thing is, there really haven't been a lot of, besides obviously LeBron, there haven't really been a lot of like big guys or big names going to different teams. It's always usually been guys kind of re-upping with their own team or just, you know, guys signing kind of under the radar deals. So I'm going to be interested to see how some of this stuff goes. But I really like the Brook Lopez signing for Milwaukee. If you want to talk about an under the radar one, you know, now that he's more of a consistent 3-point shooter, you put him next to Giannis. Like, that's the perfect kind of big man to put next to him. And they hired Coach Bud
and Ilyasova.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love that contract, but, you know, that's a guy, you know, he's another big who can shoot. And then you know, Giannis hasn't really had a great coach at all in his career. You know, go from, you know, Larry Drew to Jason Kidd to Joe Prunty. I think Coach Bud was the best coach on the market this summer, and Milwaukee went and got him. And you see the way that he's been able to develop wings and develop, you know, perimeter players over the course of his time in Atlanta. You look at, you know, he got Damari Carroll paid. He got Kent Bazemore paid. He, you know, Justin Holiday, who with the Bulls now, spend a little time with him there. Now you give him Giannis and Chris Middleton. I don't think the Bucks are quite, talent wise, I don't think they're quite up there with, you know, the Toronto, Philly, Boston conversation, but they're right there. They're going to be interesting.
Before we get out of here, I mean, it seems like it's, you know, anyone saying that the Warriors aren't the favorites to repeat coming into 18-19 season would be on some kind of crazy pills. The team that came closest to knocking them off actually came one game from knocking them off. The Houston Rockets made some moves of their own, but primarily it was signing Chris Paul to that gigantic extension. They let Trevor Ariza go in free agency. Clint Capella right now is still probably the biggest free agent name that hasn't yet been signed, hoping to stay with the Rockets. But you mentioned Melo earlier and that buyout that is impending from OKC. We're hearing that the Rockets is the most likely destination for Houston. Sean, I don't know about you, but the version of Melo that we saw with OKC and the just hilarious levels of don't give a fuckness on defense and the expiring efficiency offensively from the younger Melo that we knew, if I'm Houston and I'm Daryl Morey, I'm putting way more eggs in the keep Clint Capella basket than I am in the let's bring Melo in here to play with CP3 and Harden Melo Harden basket. What are your thoughts?
They're going to keep Capella. It's dragging out now because they really have no reason to offer him more money because there's no team that can really, you know, now. I mean, I think Sacramento.
Right, money's dried up at this point.
They have. Right, that's the thing. So when you're a restricted free agent, I mean, you know, with the Bulls kind of saw this with Nico last summer. You know, they didn't really have any reason to make him a big offer right away because he was, there wasn't a lot of money out there for restricted guys. And so he went out there thinking he was going to get a huge offer sheet. I mean, he met with the Lakers, but then once, you know, LeBron announced he was going to go there, that kind of wasn't really what they were looking to do anymore. So he's talking about how he wants to sign. He might sign the qualifying offer for $4.7 million, which would obviously be a disaster for Houston because then they could lose it for nothing next year. But I think, I mean, it might drag out into later July or even into August or even into like closer to camp. But they're going to get a deal done at some point. Now, as far as like the Rockets' overall offseason, if you want to talk about the biggest losers of the offseason, besides obviously Cleveland losing LeBron, that's the worst offseason that anybody had. But other than that, I think it's pretty indisputable that Houston has gotten worse this summer. I don't think enough people talk about how important Trevor Ariza
and Luke Mbamute is gone.
Right, Mbamute, people kind of forget about because he had the shoulder injury in the playoffs, and so he wasn't really a factor in the Golden State series. But during the year, he was one of their most, him and PJ Tucker were two of their most valuable perimeter defenders, and Ariza is just a guy who's been solid. He's been durable. He plays both ends of the floor. He doesn't really get injured a lot. That's a guy. And I mean, I guess Phoenix, I get that, you know, they didn't want to go into luxury tax as deep as they did after they just signed Chris Paul to that extension. But like, you have to, if you don't bring Trevor Ariza back, you have to do something to replace him. And I don't think, you know, 35-year-old Carmelo Anthony is really going to do that. But so, I mean, Houston was the one team in the West. If they had just brought the exact team back that they had last year, they were right there last year. They took Golden State to seven games. They were up 3-2. They probably would have won that series if Chris Paul had been healthy, or if they had just made four of those 27 three-pointers in a row as they missed. If they had brought that exact same team back, they could have been like, you know what, we were right there. We have a good shot at beating the Warriors, and they'd be right. But now, I mean, with the moves that they've made, with losing Ariza, with losing Mbamute, and basically replacing them with, so far, Michael Carter Williams and James Ennis, and then, you know, maybe, you know, past his prime Carmelo Anthony. I think, you know, Houston was the one team in the West that really had a shot at knocking off Golden State, and now they don't. So I think they probably had the worst offseason out of anybody.
All right, Sean. And before we let you go, shifting back to the Bulls really quickly, a lot of different opinions out there about what we're going to see in year two of the rebuild with this young core, especially with the addition of Jabari Parker now. Some people saying, oh my gosh, on paper, this starting lineup, and some people are putting Carter instead of Lopez in that starting lineup, which people see as an eventuality. Everybody's 24 younger. It's great. It's talented. It's going to be amazing. The Bulls are going to be back in the playoffs this year. And some people, and I count myself among this group, are saying, I don't see it yet. And maybe the Cavs got worse because they lost LeBron, but they still have Kevin Love in the meantime. And I don't see a whole lot of other Eastern Conference teams that got noticeably worse than the Bulls. I don't see them as a playoff team next year. Where are you on that spectrum?
I think they're a solid 9 seed.
Yeah, right. Like they're sweet spot.
They're gonna be. Like, I mean, obviously this past year, I mean, their tanking effort kind of got screwed up by that winning streak they had in December after Nico came back in the lineup. But they went into this season like, we're going to be really bad. We're going to be gunning for, you know, Luka Doncic or whoever. And I mean, obviously Michael Porter was that guy, you know, that people were aiming for. And then obviously he had his health stuff. But like, they were going into last season, like, we're going to go after one of like the top five picks in the lottery. And they finished with the sixth worst record, ended up moving down to the lottery to seventh. But they were kind of in that conversation. I don't think they're going to be that bad this year. I think you're going to see them picking like 10th, 11th, 12th or something in the lottery. You're going to see them kind of what are those mid lottery picks? But, you know, like you, I mean, so let's talk about the East. Like, it's like, okay, obviously, at the top of the East is going to be Boston, Toronto, Philly, and then I think Milwaukee is going to be in there. Indy's going to be in there. Miami's always there,
right?
And then
Washington is going to be somewhere five through eight.
You would think, but then you know, and then beyond that, you know, I think you know Detroit could sneak back in there. I think they got
the Twin Towers, Drummond and Blake. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, sure. No, they had like a whole season of that, and like they've had some injury stuff. And you know, as much as Reggie Jackson is a guy people don't like, you know, they're better when he plays than when he doesn't play. So if he's healthy, like you know, there are teams that I think are going to be better next year than the. I mean, I think my prediction is I think 2 years from now the Bulls are going to be back in the playoffs. I do like what they're building in terms of like with Markkanen and Carter. They have some other young pieces. I think Chris Dunn is going to keep getting better. I really liked what I saw out of him for the most part last year. I wouldn't have matched the LaVine offer sheet personally, but like he's still young enough. He still has some room to get better. You know, maybe the Jabari thing works out, and if he doesn't, they can cut bait next year because they have the team option. So I just. I think they're going to be like a 9th or 10th seed in the East this year. They're going to have one of the last lottery picks. And then I think the year after that is when you can maybe realistically say they're going to be back in the playoffs. That's my take on it.
Just because you mentioned both of them here as we're finishing up, in a vacuum, disregarding one has a 4-year deal and one has a 2-year deal with a team option, who do you think is closer to being worth $20 million per season right now, Jabari or Zach LaVine?
LaVine. This is just, I mean, both of them are kind of unknowns at this point, but I think I will take the guy that has only had one ACL surgery over the guy that has had two ACL surgeries in terms of if you're projecting, you know, what you're going to expect from them. Like I said, though, you know, I mean, Jabari, like, as much as, you know, everybody likes to talk about how bad of a fit it is, and I don't think it's a good fit. It's not a deal that I would have done, but I'm rooting for Jabari to succeed. He seems like a great kid. It's always a cool story when a guy can come home and have success in his hometown. I'm, obviously he was seen as, you know, one of the best prospects of his draft class. And then it never really went the way it was going to in Milwaukee because of the injury. So I'm hoping that it works out for him for his own sake and also for Bulls fans' sake. Cause like, you know, they need one of these, cause you know, obviously the Derrick Rose thing ended so badly. And then the Dwayne Wade thing, when he came home, was sort of a disaster. It would be good if one of these kinds of things actually works out. So, you know, I'm rooting for the kid, but I don't love the move. I don't love the fit.
Fair enough. I can't say I disagree. Sean, as always, we love it when you stop by the show that you began. And we said this before we hopped on the mics, but we got to get Cody Westerlund involved in one of these crossovers with the OG hosts. He is Sean Hyken. You can follow him on Twitter.
I keep working on him.
Cody on board, man. At some point, we got to make this happen for your listeners, for our listeners, for the listeners that span both generations.
I'm working on it, man. Like we'll make it happen at some point. Next time I'm in, I was just in Chicago a couple months ago for the combine, and we weren't able to connect then. But you know, at some point, if next time I'm in Chicago, I'll see what Cody's up to. Maybe we can get all four of us in the studio or something. I'd be up for that for sure.
Absolutely, dude. We'll make it happen. In the meantime, you should be following Sean on Twitter at Hyken, and you can catch his basketball NBA writing at Bleacher Report and also Dime Mag. Sean, always a pleasure, buddy. Enjoy summertime out there on the West Coast.
Always good to talk to you guys.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, want to thank Sean Hyken for jumping on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Hyken or over at BleacherReport.com. He's got all the NBA stories there, so you can go follow him on Twitter as well at Hyken. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Make sure you're subscribed to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. You can hit us up, text messages and voicemails at 331-979-1369. For our guest, Sean Hyken, for Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow to drive you into the weekend. For Jordan, Matt, and Sean, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.